You guys need a bigger screen, by the way, because all I can see is Ben's big head.
Can you? Can you not see me?
Hi.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Not So Fickle podcast. And you are with today, myself and your hosts.
Lucy Davis.
And, of course, we've got the big man on the podcast today, who is...
Go ahead.
Who am I?
Yeah, who are you? Who the fuck are you?
I'm Paul fucking Mort. What are you saying?
On today's podcast, we're going to be covering the topic of dealing with criticism and self-criticism. So before we dive in, I think it's important that we first get a bit of an intro from the big man himself, Mr. Mort. So if you can, Paul, just give us a bit of a lowdown, a bit of a background on yourself for some of the listeners.
How long have we got?
Much time do you need?
I have quite a long and varied story, which has been pretty crazy. My life's been pretty mental, but I'll cut to the chase. So I'm Paul Mort. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and I'm a businessman. I've been self-employed since I was 21, built several successful businesses. At 2014, I built my most successful one, lived in Marbella, had a four-bedroom villa with a private pool, but I was suicidal. And then my life transformed again, and I morphed into something different completely since then. So now I work with married businessmen who need to get their shit together, and I do so through my best-selling book, through public speaking, international speaking, coaching, etc., etc. So, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Perfect, mate. Thanks for that. I'll also ask Lucy, who is Paul Mort?
What do you mean?
How do you know Paul? How do you first get to know Paul?
Well, obviously through your email domination academy, which actually for us and for our business was life changing because you were the person who set up our price.
Oh fuck yeah!
Yeah, I remember.
Oh yeah, you ripped us a new arsehole.
Yeah, you did completely rip us a new arsehole. I don't know why I've just said it. That's a good man thing to say.
I remember now because it wasn't a general. It wasn't a general. Oh, you couldn't possibly.
Yeah, it was a bit. It was a bit intense, but no, we're on Paul's email course, which for us and our business completely changed how we run,
yeah,
as well as a business, and making sales through good email, yeah, not shit email. But that's initially how we met.
Well, yeah. I was it's funny because I used to listen to Paul's podcast, and now we got on the podcast, so there's no brother that's been around. And that's how I first found out about Paul's email course, and then that's obviously when we started email domination, and that for me not only changed things that we were doing with the business, but it also has a lot to do with today's topic, because obviously with social media and that kind of thing, we tend to get a lot of criticism, and I know that you have before as well, Paul. So I think from your email course is where I learned to deal with it quite a lot, and also spin it round and use it as a positive and in our favour when dealing with criticism. So I know I only threw this topic at you yesterday that we were going to chat about, but I know you're quite an adaptable guy. So with the topic of criticism, it's something that, for me in my early years, I would say, well, like you would say, I was probably a little bit of a snowflake. So I didn't deal with criticism.
Everyone goes through that. Do you know, because anybody that says they don't give a fuck, like, they clearly do, or they wouldn't be saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody cares what people think. It's like a primal instinct.
Yeah.
It's how you make... It's how you're going to make decisions and how you're going to... It's like an instinct.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is an instinct, caring what people think. It's kind of... It probably goes back to some caveman days when it was like, who's the fucking alpha male here?
Yeah.
Naturally, you weigh other people up. But yeah, it's a subject that I... Funny enough, I didn't really start dealing with it or actually getting much of it until I started being successful.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, even when you're not doing much with your life, there's always somebody criticizing you.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you brought up the topic of self-criticism, because if you're not getting it from somebody else, you're certainly giving it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I was talking to a guy about this yesterday, a video guy. He said he's always dealing with his inner critic, and he lets him beat himself up, and he always asks these questions of himself. Like, he has this inner voice that says, like, who the fuck do you think you are? What makes you so special, etc., etc. And I said, listen, that guy there is there to keep you... So your inner voice, your inner critic's there to keep you humble.
Yeah.
Like, it's there to keep you on track. It's because if you get too positive, you start making ridiculous decisions.
Yeah.
For me, that self-doubt is perfect. Self-doubt is there to give you certainty, right?
Yeah.
For me, if there's no self-doubt, I'm going to do something fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without that little bit of self-doubt... I would make what at the time would be very positive decisions, but I would also fuck some things up.
Yeah.
Like, take bigger risks than you need to. And I think a lot of people need, probably could do with taking bigger risks. But for people like us, would make stupid decisions without that kind of negative self-talk. And also, like, you can't get caught up in this delusion of positive thinking. Like, not everything should feel positive, and not everything is just about being positive all the time. Like, a lot of people they'll beat themselves up when they don't feel positive, and then that kind of defeats the object.
I know. But that's also getting that balance, isn't it, between...
And that's all it is. That's the word, yeah. Right there.
Getting that balance between obviously self-criticism, because you can be so negative to yourself and beat yourself up to the point where, I know for me, when I first started doing video shit and putting out content, yeah. I'd criticise my own stuff, or I'd be so critical that I wouldn't produce, yeah. because I was like being too much of a perfectionist, or I was listening to what some dickhead like Kenny had said on a video where I was talking about something and he'd give me a load of abuse, so then that sticks in my head for when I next go to produce content again. Yeah. So I suppose that's the balance between self-criticism and self-improvement. And criticising yourself for that avenue.
Criticism was telling you exactly where you needed to get better.
What's that?
What if your self-criticism, right, mm-hmm. is like an alarm clock to tell you where you could improve? Mm-hmm. Like, without that voice, like, how would you know how to improve? Like, when people say, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm like, well, how will you know when you're good enough? Like,
yeah.
I'm happy. When my inner critic's like, oh, you're not good enough, I'm like, great, how do I get better then? Like, you know, I think the problem is not with the self-critic, it's like thinking there's something wrong with the self-critic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going anywhere. Like, people are like, oh, how do I stop negative thoughts? I'm like, well, you're not going to. It's part of the balance. It's like, yeah, it's like, again, it's that thing that's keeping you neutral is where the win is, right? Most mm-hmm. people are like either here or here. Like, and I was diagnosed bipolar, and I was an amazing example of this. I was either here or here. Mm-hmm. Now what I find is that if I'm neutral, that's where I get the best results, because that's where I'm present. That's where I'm most present, when there is some self-doubt there, when there is some self-critic. Like, that's for me, the biggest problem is thinking that you shouldn't think those thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thinking that there's something wrong with not feeling good enough.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, again, I'm like, well, okay... If people are struggling with, I'm not good enough, it's like, okay, well, what is good enough, and how will you know when you're good enough?
Yeah.
Most people don't even know what the standard is. So they're setting an expectation that will never be met because they don't know what good enough is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
When people say to you, I want to lose weight, first thing you say to them is usually how much?
Yeah, 100%.
And if they don't know, they'll never hit the target. There's no target. There's no standard. So it's like, okay, how will I know when I'm good enough at video? How will I know when I'm good enough to put out content? Well, when you start doing it, or when what is good enough? Do you know what I mean?
It's yeah, like, yeah, 100%.
The biggest problem is people think these thoughts or this critic or this self-doubt shouldn't exist, so they try and crush it instead of just being like, oh, that it's you again?
Yeah.
Great, I'm glad you're here.
Well, I think that depends what type of person you are as well, though, doesn't it, when dealing with self-criticism? Because if you're... already, like, not a really confident person, you're getting, yeah. especially when it's coming from, like, external, it yeah. puts that self doubt in your head, and then you do criticize yourself even more. Yeah. And it's difficult.
And I love that you're saying that about confidence, because confidence is still, it's like, that's created as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm often, well, do you need to be confident to do that, or do you just need to do it without confidence? A lot of things you have to do with self doubt there. Do you know what I mean? It's not going anywhere. The only way to get over it is to get over it.
Yeah, and do
so
it.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't... I'm like, do you have to feel confident to do a video, or do you just need to do it?
Yeah.
Or how will you know when you feel confident?
Well, that's it. It's through repetition, isn't it, that you build that confidence as well?
It is. I love that, yeah. And belief, for me, comes from benchmark. So the only thing you can do is, for me, when it comes to confidence, what people really want, it's not a confidence issue, it's a certainty issue, right? They want to be sure. It's not that they can't do it. It's not that they think they can't do it. It's usually that they want to be sure that they can definitely do it. They want to be sure that everything's going to be okay. They want to be certain that no one's going to criticize them. They want to be certain that it's going to be perfect. So for me, it's often not even a confidence thing. If they are looking for certainty, and the only place to get certainty is through action.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly the same, mate, when we did the email course. It wasn't that we didn't know how to send the email. It was just, oh, yeah. should or shouldn't we do it? Because... it might not work, or it might not be perfect, and it was just taking action.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to, like we learned from your course, you're probably going to piss some people off, because I remember one of the weeks was like, I fucking had this two guys with me on my back, like, telling me how much of a wanker I am. And remember, I actually said to you, because remember the those PTs send those messages around people, yeah. Gym, and like they were like messaging like, oh, you guys are in a pure gym.
How dare you WhatsApp sleep group. PTs?
How dare you sleep PTs? Bloody boy, blah. Yeah. I remember asking you like how to deal with it, and you're like, it's fucking. That's what you want. You want to be being talked about and use that as content or material.
I'm,
for
like, I'm almost in the position now where I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm just glad you were paying attention. I'm honestly glad you're paying that much attention to me emails that you allowed it to trigger you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when people feel get offended by stuff like this, right? All they're really doing is they're trying to blame the way that they feel on you. And that's what offended is. It's like, I feel offended, therefore I want you to take responsibility for me choosing to feel that way. It's a mad thing.
Well, it's like that thing that whenever you're putting up content or putting stuff out, especially when you're getting criticised on social media, you're almost holding a mirror up to someone else, aren't you? And then it makes them look at themselves, and then they attack the thing that made them feel that way. So that's
Here's what I mean. Listen, I've had two death threats. I've had people threaten to stab my family and shit, right? Like my kids, no shit.
It's literally disgusting.
Some people are just fucking idiots, right? Yeah. And again, I do realize that I say some things that will trigger some people. But all I'm doing is expressing my beliefs. And when people get so offended and so triggered by this shit, I'm like, all they're doing is, I've said something that challenges what they believe to be true. And you've got to consider, there are people in the world who believe in what they believe so strongly that they'll attach a fucking backpack and blow themselves up.
Yeah.
That's how powerful beliefs can be, right? So when somebody gets triggered by something that I've said, all they're doing is defending their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're supposed to do. That's what people do. I'm like, I defend my beliefs sometimes as well. So that's why I don't really get involved with arguments, because I'm like, there's no winner, because I'm trying to change someone's beliefs. That's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have believed this shit for so long, and some people, it's often, the worst part is, I wrote an email about this today, is some people, their identity is being challenged. So when people come to me who struggle with mindset, depression, mental health, and that, and listen, depression just doesn't happen, right? You are doing something, thinking something, watching something, taking something in, right? That is, you're creating the emotion of depression, right? People get triggered by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because often, I've changed thousands of people's lives through teaching them this shit, right? Thousands of people. And that's only going to get bigger. But some people get very challenged by that, because their identity is being challenged, because a lot of people, and this is harsh as fuck, but it was me, this is how I know, because I was this guy. I didn't want to get better when I was struggling, because then I wouldn't get the attention that I got anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get the affection, the extra care, the extra love. I didn't know how else to get it back then, right? 2014, I didn't know how else to get it. And almost bipolar became part of my... it became part of my identity. And when your identity gets challenged, you're going to fucking blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to blow up. That's why people lose their shit so much. Either you're challenging their beliefs, they're just defending them, or you're challenging their identity, and that's when it goes next level hate. Stalker level hate. Yeah.
Well, so I mean, everyone at the end of the day as well, no matter what people say, or I don't give a shit about what other people think, everyone at the end of the day likes to be liked by people. Yeah. It's just, I think it's just part of human nature, and that's why I always go back to, because we get a lot of like gym stuff as well, like people looking at them, staring at them in the gym, anxious, stress, anxiety, that kind of thing, because people just want to be accepted and liked by other people who are in that environment. Yeah. And I always go back to, I remember a quote that Jamie Alden was talking about, and it's about the old woman in the burning building quote. So there's an old woman in a burning building, and whether you decide to rescue it or not, there's always going to be someone who thinks you're a dickhead, no matter what decision you make of it.
Yeah.
So you just got to be able to deal with it and accept that no matter what you do, not everyone's going to like you, whether you're positive.
Yeah. But the same thing happens with suicide. Again, it's a fucking morbid subject, right? But we deal with a lot of it in this town because we've got cliffs here, right?
Yeah.
There's someone over there, and I live opposite them, someone over there, like, I'd say once every 2 weeks.
Jesus.
At least once a week, somebody there trying to jump, but I'd say that at least once a fortnight, somebody's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we deal with it a lot. But you got some people that are like, that's selfish, and some people are like, that's courageous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it is. I don't particularly want to give my opinion on which one it is, but some people will say one thing, some people say another thing. And all it is it's perspective. And one thing that changed for me, I'm actually talking about it at Wembley this week, is that one thing that changed for me is I just realised that everybody's just trying their best. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing their best. It's got nothing to do with us. Like, what somebody else does hasn't really got anything to do with me. And all we're trying to do is feel good. Yeah. That's all we're trying to do. We use training to feel good. Some people use trying to make other people feel bad to feel good. Yeah. Right? So it's always about them. It's never about us. And one thing I want to say on the worried about other people will think thing, especially when you go in gyms and shit like that, nobody else gives a fuck mm-hmm. about you. And do you know why they don't give a fuck about you? They're too busy worrying what you think of them.
Oh, no shit, yeah, I've never looked at it that way, actually.
Yeah, they're too. Yeah. Honestly, I went on a course once where you were sat down. I can't remember the exact words of it. I kind of wish I did, because I would steal the shit out of this exercise. The great exercise, and I kind of... I actually left the course 2 days early because it was weird as fuck, right? Super weird. Maybe I wasn't ready to hear everything that I heard then. But anyway, this exercise was like you sat next to... Everyone sat next to each other. Like, there was someone on you, like, back to back, and there was someone side to side, and it was like... You started thinking about what other people thought of you. And then I was like, well, everyone's just thinking the same thing here.
Yeah.
So you've got four people, right? Got three people, sorry. Actually, four. Me, one person here, one person here, one person behind. And they're like, and the whole exercise was about thinking about what people think of you. But and what I got was that everyone's just thinking the same thing. Regardless of what we think about them, they're also thinking about what they think about us. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the biggest things for me when I was working for the police like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like walking the streets, whatever, and I left my old job I spoke about in the last podcast because of stress and anxiety. But for me, when I was doing that job, most of the public are probably worrying about what's he thinking, what's he doing, blah, 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 what actions he's going to take. Whereas I was worried about, because I was like in the limelight of situations and scenarios and people were expecting me to deal with something there and then. I was always worrying about, well, what are other people thinking about the decision I make, the perception of the public, like other things. And that's
everyone
what got on top of me and it away at me.
Everyone has a different filter, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone uses a different filter.
Yeah, 100%.
That's all it is. And it's funny, you know, I was talking about this the other day, this is kind of irrelevant, but also your filter's different depending on where your energy's at.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Like, this is why I say to people, listen, one of the worst things you can do first thing in the morning is check your phone.
Yeah.
Wait until your state is better. Wait until you've actually put yourself in what Robbins would call peak state, mm-hmm. like prime your state. Get maybe a little workout in, get a cold shower in, get your breathing exercises done, get your journaling done, get your study done, and then look at your phone. And I'm guaranteeing you, the filter you've got on is completely different.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like I remember October last year, right? I was sitting down here having a fucking meltdown, right? Not a massive one. I've been to Dubai, right? Had a fucking amazing week, and we came back. And I felt like shit. And I was like, do you know when you've got so much work to do, but you haven't got the energy to do it, and but you want to do it? Like, I've had that this week. I'm like, fucking hell, I'm excited. I've got all this shit going on, but I haven't been well, right?
Yeah.
And then usually I battle with it, but and then I'd be like, fucking hell, my life's so shit. Hasn't happened this week, but October. And I was like, the only difference is my life was exactly the same. All that was different was my physical energy.
Yeah.
My life was exactly the same as it was a week before, even like the day before. But the next day, because my energy was different, my filter was like, it was like covered in shit. I was like, oh, my life's so shit. And it's like, it was mad. But my life was exactly the same, but my filter was just different based on my energy.
Yeah. So that was your perception of the situation.
Like, I get that so bad because I'm a super, I'm not as bad as I was, but I'm a super anxious person. And it was, like, was it the start of the year that I ended up even having an operation on my stomach because my anxiety was so bad? Because, like, I had such bad, like, pains in my stomach. Because I used to... Because, obviously, what anxiety is, you're thinking about a scenario that's not true. That's never, ever happened. So that was, like, the hardest thing to get around, especially with social media, I think, like, as a, like, a younger woman as well.
Yeah.
In the industry that we're in, it's a bit, like, intense, isn't it?
Well, YouTube, the fucking worst, isn't it?
YouTube is really critical. Like, people are just, like...
It's like a black hole.
Arses. I'm like, where have you come from? Yeah,
you but I just... Remember, like, listen, people that spend a lot of time on YouTube...
Yeah.
Spend time on PornTube as well. And YouTube's very faceless, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You can hide quite easily.
That's why they do it.
YouTube, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing. But anxiety, listen, I get that because I used to have fucking giant... I've been so fucked up, and you might have heard this story before. I was flying to Chicago for my friend's wedding. I'm 4 hours into the flight, and I'm like, I watch a film, and it was fine, right? It was all fine. I upgraded a business class. It was fucking incredible. Chilling. And I watched this film, and it was something to do with, like, families, right? And it was quite emotional. And I was like, I need a text. I want to ring the kids now. And then I realized I was in the air. It's like, I can't ring the kids. I can't even fucking text them. I've got another 4 hours this flight, and I just fucking lost it. Like, lost it. And it got so bad. And the problem is, they were like, are you on any meds? And at the time, I was still on bipolar meds. I was like, on bipolar meds. And then they started panicking as well. They're like, are you feeling violent? I don't think you really understand what bipolar is. But I don't feel violent. But if you ask me that again, maybe I will. Anyway, they ended up, right, ringing a doctor. So they have those satellite phones.
Yeah.
Ringing a doctor, saying, what meds can he take? They opened this briefcase. So honestly, it was like Mission Impossible.
On the plane.
Meds out. They sedated me. I slept for the rest of the flight. And I had to catch a connecting flight to... where was it? So Syracuse, which is like New York State, right? And I was 2 hours early for that flight. I was in the gate and I missed the flight. I was so sedated. I was fucked up. And then that was a moment where I was like, I need to get a handle on this anxiety thing. Now it's it's not an issue for me. And all anxiety is a combination of two things. One, your physiology, right?
Yeah.
Like when people say to me, I'm taking pre-workouts and I'm drinking loads of coffee and that, I'm like, and you've got anxiety?
Yeah.
And you get anxiety, you're actively taking something that's a stimulant. And you think about it, how much energy have you got when you're anxious?
Oh my god, I feel like you're gonna explode.
When I call our lads in boxing fights, right, they're like, oh Paul, I'm gonna have a Red Bull. I'm like, mate, you don't need a Red Bull, trust me. Oh, but I feel really tired. I'm like, mate, once they announce your name, I'm gonna guarantee you that they have enough energy.
Yeah.
Not drink fucking Red Bull. One guy did it and he quit on the first round because he started having a panic attack. Quit on his stool.
Really?
Yeah.
I said, I told you not to have the fucking Red Bull, mate. All that happens is your heart rate's gone too high and your body's confusing discomfort with danger. And then the other thing, and this was my biggest breakthrough anxiety, is that what you focus on grows. So if I focus on a situation that creates anxiety for me, I'm going to get more of it.
Yeah.
So here's how I fixed it, right? No shit. All I have to have now on flights and in any situation is I have to have something that focuses my mind.
Yeah.
So people are telling you to meditate. Trying to meditate when you're anxious, it's not going to happen.
Oh, my God. That's what literally... Everyone's like, oh, use the apps and stuff. I was like, no, because then I just think about it more. You're in your head.
It's not enough to hold your attention.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I go on a flight, I have movies, I have books, I have magazines, I have... apps on my phone, I have TV shows, I have all sorts. Like, I have a journal and I write, and I have to have, if that holds my attention, for example, Football Manager was my big one, right? If I play Football Manager, I'm focused on it, I don't have fucking time to be anxious. Yeah. And that's how I fix my phobia of the dentist.
Yeah.
So I used to have to get sedated to have a filling, right? Just a filling, sedated to get a gum shield made, no shit. That's how bad it was, the anxiety for me. 5 weeks ago, I had huge surgery on my mouth where I needed... Do you know that bit of skin that connects your lip to your gum?
Yeah.
I had it removed, right? I had a bone graft in my gum, and then I had two huge, like, wall plugs put in my mouth so they can screw two teeth in. I did all of that without sedation just because... Not because of anything other than I'm able to now take my attention... or my focus on something other than all that shit that's in my mouth.
Yeah.
So I'll either watch Netflix, listen to a podcast, or in the dentist case, I'm like, listen, bro, this is a new dentist as well, by the way. It wasn't my old dentist. They fucked me around. I said, listen, dude, I get so excited about being the dentist that sometimes I get up and walk out. I'm sweating, right? And I just said, what I need you to do is I need you to talk to me through the entire process. This is like a 1 hour surgery, by the way. Leslie came with me and she said, Paul, I didn't want to say anything, but I could see the bones in you. Like, I could see your whole jaw. It was that open, she could see my whole jaw. I didn't know this because obviously it's numb.
Yeah.
And can you talk to me the whole time? And I said, here's why. I can't concentrate on your voice and exactly what you're saying and concentrate on the shit that I hate at the same time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was...
And it's so simple, people don't believe me. I'm like, well, try it. Next time you go... The only time we're anxious is usually when we're in the future as well, by the way.
I was just saying last year when I went for that hair transplant in Turkey, it was like a 7-hour procedure and a fucking got needles in and out your head. Yeah. Everyone's like, wasn't that painful? I fell asleep during it, probably because I was listening to a James Smith podcast as well. But, but I fell asleep, mate. I found it quite therapeutic because I was able to focus on something else. But the thing that helps me with anxiety and stress, and I know it's not the same with everyone, is because whatever I'm dealing with at that time, if I start to put myself in the mind state of that, it's my fault or everything is my fault, then at least I can deal with it, or at least then I can make a decision rather than thinking it's out of my control. Because that's what...
You're right. And the word that you use that kills a lot of people is fault and blame.
Yeah.
Right? All we're really saying is taking responsibility.
Yeah.
So it's just a reframing words. And here's another filter that I love for taking responsibility for situation, even for the way that you feel. It's our responsibility, nobody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to choosing to lose your shit over somebody criticizing you is your responsibility, not theirs. Right? Now, another way that I love to describe, because you said blame and fault, and that would kill some people.
That's what I mean. I know for some people, the headspace is fucked up.
Language would fuck some people up and they'd hate themselves for it. But I'm like, okay, well, let's change the word to responsible. That would still kill some people. Yeah. And here's all that. This is the way that I describe it now. That's just taking charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
instead of me saying depression's your fault, you're to blame for that depression, that would kill people. Some people. Some people need to hear, listen, you need to take responsibility for the way that you feel. It didn't happen by accident. You created it. It's not caught. It's not contagious. It's not the coronavirus. But then you can say, what if you just took charge of the way that you feel? What if you just... So there's four levels of that. Blame, fault, responsibility. And the one that works for everyone is take charge.
Yeah, take charge. It's powerful.
Take charge. Just take charge of where your focus is. So where attention goes, energy flows. Where you put your attention, you'll get the energy that goes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where attention goes, energy flows and results show.
Yeah, because I think stress and anxiety massively comes from because you feel like you've got no grip hold on the situation or you can't do anything about it. That's what can cause it because you just feel like it's being inflicted on you or whatever you do, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
My anxiety is my favorite. When people say my anxiety, I'm like, dude, it's not yours. You're experiencing an emotion. That's all.
Yeah.
And the great thing is once you accept it and you're like, I'm taking charge of this, you can change the way you feel like that.
Yeah.
Like instantly. You can instantly change it. Depression, anxiety, feelings of feeling low, etc., etc. And it is hard, by the way, but it's simple. It's hard, but it's simple. Everyone's like, I could say it's easy, but it's not. Especially but it's down to training, your level of training. I've got a lot of training in it, so it's easy for me. Now, it's easy for a lot of the guys that I work with, but it's just down to the level of training. And people who create anxiety, they've just got a lot of training in creating anxiety. That's all it is. And same with depression. You've got a lot of training in creating it through your thoughts, through your actions, through... What I will say is that you're not in control of your thoughts, only the ones that you kind of put your attention on.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, thoughts will just come in, like we said at the start. They just come in. My negative voice will show up every now and again. And it's up to me how I frame that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an alarm clock. So anxiety, think about it as an alarm clock. Oh, there's me believing my own bullshit again.
it was exactly the same. Yeah.
There's me thinking I'm in danger again. Actually, it's just a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Where can I take my attention? Where can I take my attention? Because what I focus on will grow. I'll get what I'm focused on.
It was exactly the same for me last year when we were at IFS because one of the big... fears for me last year was public speaking and something that we're doing more of. And I was I've done loads of this stuff in front of camera, like I've been going to Toastmasters, but I was still shitting myself like doing certain events. And you'll probably remember it because we were sitting around by the pool before we had our talk, and you're like, fucking hell, you got two big like gin and tonics. I think we were coming back from the other bar. And I was getting twatted just to take that fear or anxiety away.
Yeah,
so like I can get a little bit fucking bougie and then I can go up and talk and I'll be alright with it.
Is it ever as bad as what you think it's gonna
be?
No, it's never.
Probably because it was half pissed though when we did it.
like fighting. I've worked with a lot of guys who've had their first fights, whatever it is, right? And I'm always like, listen, thinking about getting punched in the face is way worse than actually getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
Way worse. Because you think everything bad's going to happen and it hurts a bit, but it's not as bad as like the thought of getting punched in the face. So and the public speaking thing, it's always a case of like... usually a comparison thing. I'm not going to be as good as so-and-so. Somebody in the crowd's better than me, et cetera, et cetera. And the only way to get over that is, we've already talked about loads, is practice.
Yeah.
You're fucking doing it. And if you're going to be in the future thinking about it, at least prepare. So I've got the whole day on Tuesday to prepare for my talk on Friday. There's 1,000 people there. It's a big gig for me. They've given me a keynote slot. So if I'm going to be a little bit nervous, I mean, the thing is, I'm excited about it.
Do you still get nervous though doing that?
A little bit, but I've practiced it, I've rehearsed it, I know what my slides are, and I know that, here's what you got to think, people are there to see you do well.
Yeah.
Nobody's there to see you fail.
Yeah, yeah.
People want you to do well, they're there for them, not to see you fuck up.
Yeah.
So for me, it's, there is a little bit of nerves, but you could also see that through the filter of, actually, am I just fucking excited?
Yeah.
It's the same feeling, right? You know when you need a piss?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same feeling. It's the same physical feeling. It's just a filter. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm nervous. And that's just, maybe it's just this. That's my body providing me with me. And that's my body providing me with the energy that I need to light this bastard up. It's the same thing, right? Think about the anxiety and the nerves. You're like, actually, that's just my body giving me the energy I need to fucking light this up.
Yeah, it's
that
excitement. It's funny you say that. I was at an event like 2 or 3 weeks ago in Leeds with Anne Middleton.
Yeah.
And we were talking about like that feeling of fear and stuff as well. But he was saying like, now when I get that fear factor, I feel excited by it because I know that fear is going to challenge me to do something different to a space that I've never been before, and I know that I'm going to self-improve from that. And he talks a lot about in his book about things like the fear bubble. So he was talking about that in regards to when he's taking steps towards it and when he feels fear, he's excited by it. So when he's looking at that end goal point of what he wants to achieve, rather than seeing it as like the full journey, he'll take small steps forward. Yeah. And he was using it in comparison to like when he did that mountain climb in the middle of winter, when I can't remember what it was, and like some scenario to when
you're going to die.
Yeah. And like when he was doing things in the SAS, and when he feel like physically he couldn't move forward because the fear was stopping him that much. So he was taking like baby steps until he looked at the point where he was looking back on how far he'd come, and it was easier to move forward to the end point than it was to go backwards.
Yeah.
So and I thought that was quick.
Think about this logically, right? You think about some of the greatest experiences and achievements of your life. Or on the other side of shitting your pants.
Yeah,
almost 100%. Everything that I've done, that was a big deal to me. That I'm like, actually, yeah, that was a big win for me, was just on the other side of, right before I was shitting my pants. Yeah. Having 2 kids, speaking on big stages, putting my book out there, having a boxing match, doing a jiu-jitsu comp. Almost everything that feels like an achievement for me is right on the other side of shitting my pants.
That's so true.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And that was just my, and the thing about that was my body providing me with the energy that I needed to see it through. Amazing, eh?
It's interesting when you spin your finger about like that. And if you get excited by fear, then also that's where good shit happens when you come from the other side of it.
Yeah.
But on that note, mate, in terms of talking for a piss, I need one.
Hang on, I want to come back. I've got another little bomb for you that I love. Think about, people say like be fearless in that, right?
Yeah.
You can't be fearless, it's non-existent. But courage, right? Everyone wants to be courageous and we'll have courage. But courage can't exist without fear. And that's a big thing for me. I'm like, if I want to be courageous and want to be powerful, courage can't exist without fear. Fear has to be there in order for courage to exist. I'm like, well, that's also powerful. And all these insights for me, all the shit that I've learned about, it just changes my filter. Like, I feel like I've just got a strong filter. And that's what you guys are getting as well now. Like, filters that can change. Think about how quick you can change a filter on Instagram. I think you do that. I don't even know how. I've never, ever put a filter on my Instagram. It's probably why it's so shit. But you just do that, right? Don't you just scroll like that? And that's all you can do with your life. Just change the fucking filter. It's simple, but it takes practice. It takes training. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, Ben, before I rudely interrupt you.
No, sorry. Just before we go then, what would your... I know it's difficult to summarise it into like a couple of tips. If you're dealing with either self-criticism, dealing with criticism from someone else, self-doubt, fear, what would your 3 biggest tips be to dealing with that?
Ask yourself, because we're talking about focus and attention. You get what you're focused on. What you focus on grows. Where attention goes, energy flows, right? You've got to be able to ask yourself great questions. First of all, you've got to get it out of here. When it's in here, it's a fucking drama show, right? It's a horror show on repeat. It's like an episode of fucking EastEnders, right? Coronation Street for you two. The Lancashire squad. You're not Lancashire, are you?
Northwest, mate.
Yeah, so it's a horror show here, so you've got to get it on paper and you've got to have great questions. So I've got four questions and I think are world-class questions that will change your state in any situation. One is, how do you really feel? Like, when you're struggling with feelings, you've got to ask yourself, how do I really feel? Because people use some terrible language that fucking intensifies the feelings. So if we get it on paper, we turn it from a problem into a puzzle, right? Puzzles can be solved. And also, you'll strip away all of your bullshit. You'll strip away all the intensity. So we'll ask myself, how do you really feel? Well, I feel like my heart's going to explode. It's not though, is it? I feel like the weight of the world's on my shoulders. It's not though, is it? I feel like my life's falling apart. I'm like, it's not though, is it? It's not. I feel like I'm out of control. You're not though, are you? So what do you feel like? When we say we're going to feel like, it's an analogy, right? Which means that it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Analogies are like made up things that are usually found in work of fiction. So how do you really feel? What emotion are you actually experiencing? Because none of those are emotions. Those words will add intensity to the whole fucking thing. Oh, I feel like I'm in the pit. I've said that. In the pit. I'm on my knees. You're not the way, bro. You know what I mean? I'm stuck. You're not fucking stuck. I'm so lost. I'm like, but you're not, are you? What emotion are you experiencing? Two, what does that mean? So let's frame it. What does that really mean? What does that mean? So that's getting clear on where you're at, right? Number three is, and this is such an important question, how do you want to feel? When we focus on how we don't want to feel, guess what we get? We get more of what we don't want. When you're focused on, I don't want to feel anxious, I don't want to feel anxious, I don't want to feel anxious, guess what you get more of?
More anxious.
Yeah. I don't want this, I don't want criticism, I don't want criticism. You're going to get more. If you focus, and the thing is, if you're not putting out what you need to put out because you are worried about criticism, you just criticize yourself more.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, criticism from someone else is nowhere near as bad as criticism from yourself.
True.
And nowhere near as bad, because you can laugh at it if you just understand that people are trying their best, right? They're doing it to make themselves feel better. And usually they'll fail. Also, they'll forget about the fact that they give you shit like 2 minutes later. They'll give you some shit that you think, fuck me, you let it take up your whole day. They've forgot about it 2 minutes later because they're onto somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so how do you want to feel? This is important because what we focus on grows. If we focus on how we want to feel, we can create a strategy for feeling that way. Then the next question, fourth question, is what are you willing to do to feel like that? So a lot of people don't know this, but there's a strategy for feeling any emotion you want. Think about that first emotion that we're currently experiencing. You've got a strategy for feeling like that, whether you like it or not, and usually you're not even aware of it. Like guys that are talking about anxiety and depression, but they're on the sniff all weekend, I'm like, bro, come on, do you know what I mean? You're not feeling depressed by fucking accident, bro. You're not anxious by mistake. You've got a strategy. A lot of the time we're just not aware of it. It's just easier to say my anxiety and all this kind of stuff. It is easy. But once you've got a strategy for getting out of that, you can flip it. So one, how do you really feel? Two, what does that mean? Three, how do you want to feel? Critical. Number four, what are you willing to do to feel like that? If those are the only four things that people take away from this, then I'm happy, because focus or your attention is controlled by the questions that you ask yourself.
Love that.
That's brilliant.
I've noted those ones down, mate, after we finished. But where then, if people want to see a bit more of you, matey, can people find more of Paul Moore?
Ooh, well, if you're still watching, that's a good sign. Are you still listening? That's a good sign that you can handle my abrasive nature. Actually, do you know what? I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm not as bad as I, for some reason,
calm
I think
down.
I think it's all the fucking meditation and yoga. Yeah. I think I'm growing a vagina. Anyway, go to Paul Moore. That's got rid of everybody else. PaulMoore.uk. Follow you on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook. Whatever. There's only one Paul Moore.
Cool.
There's only one Paul Moore.
Oh, look at that. So I mean that wraps it up nice, mate. We really appreciate you having on the podcast this week. You've been fucking awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers, buddy.